Welcome into the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitter. Give me a follow there. On this episode, we're going to be doing a running diary of just my thoughts on the initial signing day in the SEC. I pretty much just wrote down everything as it happened, and so here's a quick recap of everything that went down. You know, there weren't quite as many surprises as I suspected there would be. You know, we didn't get a lot of the National Signing Day drama. I think perhaps the most drama we got was Emory Jones coming down to a last-second decision between Florida State and Florida. Obviously, he decided to commit and sign with the Gators to be Dan Mullen's first quarterback. But, you know, beyond that, there wasn't a whole lot of drama this year. I think everyone was kind of anxious to see how everything played out. And basically from about 6 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, there was commits happening. Obviously, the big story of the day, Georgia, just kind of cleaned up. And yeah, a lot of people out there are wondering, are they the new Alabama? Have they surpassed Alabama? I mean, I think that's a fair question at this point. They finished with, right now at least, they have the SEC's number one recruiting class. And of course, they have the nation's top-ranked recruiting class. They jumped both Texas and Ohio State with a strong close, stealing a prospect late in the process from Alabama. But it was just a wild, wild day, and I thought the best way to go about it this one was just kind of to recap my thoughts and highlights from basically almost like a running journal of what happened. So the first thing that caught my eye during the initial signing day period, Arkansas four-star quarterback Connor Nolan, he signed and announced, you know, he had been a long-time commitment to Arkansas there, but he signed with Arkansas from the Coliseum in Rome. That was the first image of the day. And I think while that was a cool moment for Arkansas, that was basically the highlight of their day. They currently have the SEC's number 14th ranked recruiting class, dead last. But it's nice to see they got their quarterback right there to build around. So that was the highlight for them. And then, you know, another bottom-tier team who's currently they finished with a number 12 recruiting class in the SEC as of Wednesday. Ole Miss, you know, they got off to a fast start. They're flipping prospects from Mississippi State. I'm sure that's, you know, that's going to be a big talking point in that state all day, all the rest of the week, really. Elijah Moore, four-star receiver, last minute, flips from Georgia to Ole Miss. That was a big one for the Rebels. You know, with the turmoil there that they've had, they've lost Van Jefferson, obviously. A.J. Brown's sticking around. But, you know, they're going to need some weapons on the outside for Jordan Tiamo. You know, that's a big pickup there. So I liked what I saw from Ole Miss. I think Matt Luke's doing a good job there so far on the trail. And then right around 9 o'clock, things really started to kick into gear for Georgia. Land five-star offensive lineman, Salyer. James Cook, there was talk he may flip back to Florida State. They shut that down pretty quick. Cornerback David Wilson, he had a chance to sign with Florida, but he turns around and signs with Georgia. So that was a big pickup there for the Georgia, and that was only the start. And that's also when Sam Pittman starts sending out his creepy messages. I thought it was particularly creepy the first one. I don't know if you haven't seen it, you got to go out there and check it out. Sam Pittman waving his pom poms with some real harsh light right above his head, made him look like he was about to murder you in the back of his van or something. He's got the number 69 jersey, waving his pom-poms, yes sir. And I thought that was pretty creepy, but hey, if it works for him, it works for him. Next thing that caught my eye there, Tennessee landed a big duo out of Memphis. I thought it was critical to get the day going strong for Tennessee. They didn't have a lot of prospects that they were looking to get, but two they were: Jerome Carvin, four-star offensive lineman, and running back James Banks. Their teammates there at Cordova High School, they both in the same ceremony picked the Vols. So that was a big pickup for Jeremy Pruitt. Soon after that, there was rumors speculating, you know, flying around there. Maybe this was the craziest rumor of National Signing Day, but there was some speculation out there that Emory Jones had spurned Florida at the last minute. He was going to Florida State, and Dan Mullen had punched one of the Florida Gators reporters, which, I mean, that's as ridiculous as that sounds. I mean, stuff like that was floating around. It was floating around Vol Twitter. I saw it. So that got major traction. A lot of credit to Florida for shutting that down early. And if you haven't seen it, you got to go check it out. Dan Mullen actually did an interview with that same reporter. And it was this was after they got Emory Jones. And he fake punches the guy. I mean, that was a highlight there for Dan Mullen. He won today, in my opinion. And, of course, the big commitment there, Emory Jones, as I went on to earlier. You know, that was a tense moment, I would say, for the Gators. They really needed something to, after losing Matt Corral, the quarterbacks there that they currently have on the roster there in Gainesville, nothing to write home about. They really needed this guy. Emory Jones, I think he fits exactly what Dan Mullen wants to do. He's very mobile. He's got a big arm. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts immediately for Dan Mullen, if not by the end of his freshman year at the very latest. They're going to need someone to build around, and I think they got the ideal piece. I think he fits even better than Matt Corral. Doesn't have any of the off-field issues that Corral has, so I think all in all, that was a tremendous flip there by the Gators. And one other thing caught my eye around that same, it was right around 11 o'clock Central Time. This is outside the SEC, but might have been the quote of the day there. Dabo Swinney kind of won him a 5-star offensive lineman, and apparently he's told the lineman that you know, Urban Meyer's basically on his way out. He's on the back nine, more or less, is what he claimed. And you know, the offensive lineman said, you know, that didn't win him over, but it gave him something to think about, and he chose Clemson over Ohio State. So even the old good old boy Dabo is out there negatively recruiting. So I thought that was interesting. Of course, around noon, there wasn't much drama with this, but it was big that Georgia got the signature of number one dual threat quarterback Justin Fields. That's huge. I mean, this guy, people like Bruce Feldman saying he's the best quarterback prospect people have seen in a number of years. I mean, he's been compared to Cam Newton. I've heard that thrown out there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out in Athens next year. Jake Fromm, I think he's been terrific, but you know, to say that he's you know, the leading offensive option they have there, that's, you know, it's not correct at all. And if they got a Cam Newton-esque player coming next year, I don't know how you're going to sit that guy. It could be a similar dynamic to what you saw in Alabama this year with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, however you say his name. If Georgia can handle it that same way, and, you know, like they always say, winning cures all, and it looks like Georgia's going to do a lot of winning next year, so it may not be an issue, but that's got to be something to watch. And then shortly after that, I thought it was really interesting. Marcus Spears made a comment that he suggested Georgia had essentially surpassed Alabama in the SEC. Obviously, the Bulldogs just won the SEC. They're beating Alabama on the recruiting trail. So, I mean, that's, as I, you know, touched on earlier, that's something to think about. It seems like a lot of people are on the Georgia bandwagon, and deservedly so. Kirby Smart's just killing it on the recruiting trail. Obviously, only lost one game going into the playoff. I think they're a heavy favorite, in my opinion, against Oklahoma. So that's something to watch there. Shortly after Spears made his comments, though, Alabama did land a 5-star defensive end. I believe that was their only 5-star of the day they got. But, you know, it's pretty remarkable when Alabama gets a 5-star. And at this point, we're saying they've only got one. I'm sure they'll have a few more lined up by the end, by February for sure. And, you know, continuing on the theme of Georgia, just ripping the hearts out of every Volunteer fan out there around 1:30 Central Time. 5-star Cade Mays from Knoxville picks the Bulldogs. And I think that kind of sealed Georgia with the top offensive line in the nation for this haul. I mean, they got 2 5-stars, 2 4-stars, and a 3-star. And, I mean, that's back-to-back years. I think you could make the case that Georgia's had the top offensive line class in the nation. So that, I mean, that's just remarkable. An hour later, guess again, Georgia picks another 5-star up. Brenton Cox, he picks Georgia over Alabama, the defensive end there. Recent decommit of Ohio State. I mean, Georgia's just rolling at this point. Tennessee made a nice rebound later in the afternoon there. They picked up the number one junior college tight end in the nation, and he actually picked Tennessee over Alabama and Texas A&M. So Jeremy Pruitt and his staff, putting in some work on the trail. They've only been on the job less than 2 weeks, and picking up a premier tight end like that, that's pretty good. But then Georgia turns around and picks up two more four stars to close out the day. That's what gave them that final push to get over the hump to become the number one recruiting class in the nation as far as the current standings are. Now, of course, that could change. There could be I believe they have just a handful of guys still out there remaining. But, of course, they could get another big fish or two and just kind of pad their stats there. So it's going to be interesting to see how high Georgia can rise. I know Luke Ford, the five-star tight end, is very high on their board. Who finishes with the top class in the SEC? I think that's basically locked up at this point, but Georgia's an outstanding chance to finish with the number one recruiting class in the nation for the 2018 cycle. So that's something to be watching it for sure. All right, so that should just about do it for the initial signing day period. Not a ton of surprises. I think my main takeaway from all that action was just the fact that the coaching staffs that were already in place at Georgia and Alabama, Auburn, LSU, those signing classes essentially were the same entering Tuesday as they were Wednesday. You saw some moving and shaking from teams like Tennessee. They took four shots up. Florida took five shots up. Those were the two biggest, I wouldn't say winners, but movers of the initial signing day in the SEC. Texas A&M went down three spots. LSU, South Carolina, they each went down one. But that's not a ton of movement there. So, and just something to keep in mind, this is obviously not the end of the recruiting cycle. There's going to be a couple more commits Thursday and Friday, and then the major movement will happen once again on the traditional national signing day and the first Wednesday of February. So, don't get too ahead of yourselves rating a lot of these classes. I do think Georgia will probably remain at number one. Alabama will probably jump up a spot or two. But there's teams at the bottom there, Florida and Tennessee. They're kind of mid-tier right now in the SEC. They have a chance to elevate a little bit. LSU's got some big targets out there. So don't get too worried about your team's rankings right now. Arkansas, I believe they only have 10 guys committed. They're going to finish around 25, so their class will look a lot better here by the end of it. That's pretty much all I got this time, but for that SEC podcast, I'm Michael Bratton. I'll catch you next time.